perfume, hair, and feet. Perfume, hair, and feet. I know that's kind of weird for a sermon title, but we're going through the portraits of Jesus. And every Sunday you see something within this picture frame that represents Jesus. All right, last week the picture was you. We're going through the book of John, chapter 1, all the way to chapter by chapter. Now we're in chapter 12. John, a little bit background, he was the closest disciple to Jesus. Okay, he was the one that Jesus, he wrote himself, the one that Jesus loved. So he was very close. He was with Jesus at most of the events. And Jesus brought him along at most of the events. So he wrote John, and then he wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and he also wrote Revelation. That's how many books John wrote. Now, but here's the kicker, right? He wrote it when he was in jail in Patmos. He was the only apostle that died of natural causes. He was old. And the rest of the 11th, the apostles died because of persecution or execution. Something you should know is that John didn't set out to write the Bible, by the way. John has no idea what he was writing. He didn't go, I'm going to go write the Bible now. No, they did not do that. None of the disciples did that. None of the apostles did that. They simply wrote down what they heard and saw after the resurrection. Okay? They just simply wrote down what they heard and saw after the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection inspired the Bible. And for 400 years, Christians were persecuted by Constantine. Or the Roman Empire. And after Constantine, before him, and then when Constantine came, he legalized all religion of Rome. All religions, not just Christianity, all religions. And these letters begin to surface. And they put them together. And that's how you got the Bible. And then when they put it together, they put it as close as possible to the time when Jesus was alive. So they only chose the letter of eyewitnesses, or an apostle of an eyewitness. Anything after that, it's too far off. The timeline didn't match. Someone asked me a couple weeks ago, what about the Gospel of Peter? How come the Gospel of Peter was not included in the Bible? Because the Gospel of Peter, the style of writing and the penmanship, was after the death of Peter. You can't write a letter about Jesus after your death. So they left out the Gospel of Peter. So just to keep you in mind how you got these letters, how precious this thing is. Every time paper touches pen, someone died. They went through some serious persecution to come about of this Bible. So I just want you to know how special this is. And the purpose of John's writing, it's to illustrate to us, to bring to life who Jesus was. Everything started to make sense after the resurrection. Hindsight, it's always 20/20 in light of the resurrection. Jesus' teachings made more sense. What you're about to read, John chapter 12, is the last public ministry of Jesus before he set out to go on the cross. I want you to stay with me. Today it's not a 3-point motivation. Today is you educating yourself. And I hope you get this. The last public ministry of Jesus before he went on the cross and his significance and why he exists on this phase of the earth. Cool? You guys ready? Get your Bibles out. Here we rock and roll. Go through this journey with me. John chapter 12, beginning verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, it's on the screen as well, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus has raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given to Jesus' honor, Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Verse 3. Then Mary took out a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later betray him, objected, why wasn't this perfume sold and money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he care about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keepers of the money bag, he used to help himself. So what was put into it? And Jesus shouted and yelled, or whatever the emotion of Jesus at the time. He says, leave her alone. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me with you. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. This is the six days before the Passover. That means Jesus is back in Jerusalem. Everybody's now back in Jerusalem. Remember 2 months ago, the Feast of the Tabernacle. They saw what happened. Now, 2 months later, the Feast of the Passover, it's coming up. So everyone's back and everyone's talking. Everyone's looking for Jesus. And Jesus is having dinner at Lazarus' house. Before we get into the text, this is worth mentioning. There's a problem, okay? Bring this up. Well, yeah, that's a problem. A problem because you can't read it. That is a problem. This thing called the Synoptic Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. This event is covered in all four Gospels. However, each one of the Gospels tells the story. It's a little bit different, okay? Kind of like, which Mary was it? How come one event says that she wiped the Jesus' feet with her tears? The other one says she wiped Jesus' feet with her hair. One event says that Jesus said this woman, her act is going to spread throughout the world. And at this event in John, Jesus says leave her alone. So there's some discrepancy within these four events that's foretold in the four gospels. It's something you should know. It's called the synoptic gospel, synoptic problems. This is where your atheist friends would bring up and say, the Bible doesn't make sense. It doesn't match up. Well, they might have a point. But it's not a good point. It's a weak point. That's why I love teaching the Bible. I'm not here to motivate you to make you feel good for the next hour or 30 minutes or whatever it may be. I want you to really know the scripture. But I'm not going to cover that today. I'm going to cover it lightly on Tuesday at 6:30 at the Bible study right behind us. So come back at 6:30. Why are these four gospels a little bit different? It's called the synoptic problem. Now, 6:30, Tuesday, come on by. We'll explain it. Now, back to the text here. This is not Mary Magdalene. I'll hide the lights a little bit so they can read. This is not Mary Magdalene. This is not Mary that Jesus cast out the seven demons. This is not Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is not Mary the prostitute. Mary was a very common name back then. Like Simon, John, James, and Judas. This Mary was the sister of Lazarus. On the 6 days before the Passover, they were throwing a dinner for Jesus, to honor Jesus. Everyone was traveling back. Everyone was celebrating Passover. People were talking about it. People were asking, where is Jesus? Many Jews were even coming to follow Jesus according to this text. And there was a reward at the same time for about Jesus' death. When it was most time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the country of Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. What is ceremonial cleansing? It is worth for you to know. So before the Passover is when they make a sacrifice to God and their sins forgiven. But before the Passover, they all go for ceremonial cleansing. The ceremonial cleansing is when a Jew would go into a bathtub, or they would go to the priest and they would sprinkle water on them to clean themselves, to wash their hands, to any way preparing themselves for the sacrifice. So every Jew would go to Jerusalem for the ceremonial cleansing. The intention of cleansing is, how can I make myself right before the sacrifice. Now, throughout centuries of human evolving interpretation, we lost sight of what ceremonial cleansing is. But the intent of ceremony cleansing, it's back in Exodus and Numbers where the priest would literally wash his hands or wash the people before they bring the goat to be sacrificed. So everyone was there in Jerusalem. They kept looking for Jesus. Verse 56, John chapter 11, verse 56. And they stood in the temple courts. They asked one another, what do you think? Isn't he coming to the festival at all? So everyone's talking about it. Everyone's looking for Jesus. So when your atheist friends go to you and say, see, the Bible's made up. Christianity was spread by man. And how do you believe in this? No, everyone knew about Jesus and everybody was looking for Jesus. He exists, he walked, and he talked to people, and everyone's looking for him because they said, what is he going to do now? What miracle is he going to perform? What do you think? Isn't he coming to the festival at all? But the chief priests and the Pharisees has given orders that anyone who found out where Jesus was should report it so they might arrest him. So in the middle of dinner, Mary and Martha were serving. All the men were reclining, and this was a very important details. It was a dinner. All the men were reclining. And women were not allowed to be at the table. Mary took expensive perfume, pure nard. There's these little details that we need to understand about this. Pure nard was from northern India. It's about 3,000 miles away. So during the time of the Bible, there was no Amazon Prime, right, which we thoroughly enjoy. So to have this in your hand, no transportation, no train, no airplane, to have this much of that expensive perfume in your hand, that means you're pretty wealthy, influential. Little details. She took the pure nard. She walked over to Jesus. She poured at Jesus' feet. This is not uncommon either. It was very common for a woman to wash a man's feet as he visit someone's house or as a guest. These are details you need to know about this event to understand what was happening. It was very common for a woman to wash a man's feet when he visits your home. And then she did something that shocked everybody. She poured the perfume and she lowered her hair to wash, to dry, whatever it is that she did on the feet of Jesus. What did she know? What went through the mind of Mary? What was she doing? How did she know? What did she know? How did she know? Mary's family was very influential. They were very close to the high priest. They were very close to the Roman Empire as well. They have a lot of money. She heard the reward going out for Jesus. So she knew Jesus was going to be executed somehow. But why this event? What did she know that we're all wandering for the last whatever days that you're reading this, I'm sitting in my office, I'm reading through all the commentaries. No one made any sense because we don't know. But what did Mary know? Does she know her God? Did God tell her to do this? Did the Holy Spirit prompt her? Was this orchestrated by Jesus because Jesus was the Son of God? He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was going to do. So he bring this picture out so we can understand what was going on. Because I can guarantee you can read this 20 times over at home by yourself and you're still not going to get what's going on here. But I'm going to present to you today something that you'll hopefully walk away from here, have an idea what went on. This goes all the way back in Numbers chapter 5 verse 16 is on the screen as well. The high priest, when a woman is in question of adultery, the husband would bring the woman to the high priest. This is the most shameful thing, by the way. The high priest would stand in front of her, and she would lower her hair in front of the high priest. That's a sign of You're losing your dignity. You are standing naked in front of God, in front of the high priest. The job of the high priest was to be a mediator between humanity and God. So as this woman brought in front of the high priest in Numbers, she lowers her hair as a sign of spiritual nakedness in front of God. And the high priest would take perfume or oil and pour it on her head. And his sign to her said, "We'll never know the truth if you commit adultery or not. Your husband could be lying. We don't know. But your forgiveness, whatever you work out, is between you and God." That's the picture here. The priest shall bring her and have her stand before the Lord. Then he shall take some holy water in a clay jar and put some dust from the tabernacle floor into the water. After the priest has had the woman stand before the Lord, she shall loosen her hair and place her hands the reminder offering, the grain offering for the jealousy, while he himself holds the bitter water that brings a curse. So he would make her drink the bitter water. I want you to understand something. What did Mary know? Did Mary know about this? Probably. But also, Isaiah 52 verse 7, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who brings good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns." Isaiah is illustrating a point that at the feet of the Messiah, there's going to be a Messiah, and he's going to bring about the good news. But he himself also will be the good news. And at his feet is where you will find salvation. Mary heard this and knew this, and she understands this. Mary also heard the prophecy from Caiaphas. During that time, Jesus sitting there, they had a secret meeting. They wanted to kill Jesus, and the high priest Caiaphas stood up. Now, the purpose of a high priest, remember, is to be a mediator between man and God. The job of a high priest is to prophesy what's happening to the nation. That was his job. So this is what he stood up and said. What are we accomplishing here? Here is this man performing many signs. If we let him go like this, everyone will believe in him. And then the Roman will come and take away both our temple and our nation. Then one of them, named Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, spoke up, "You know nothing at all. Do you not realize that it is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish?" Of course, at the time, Caiaphas has no idea what he said. But Mary knew. Now, I can't decide if God told Mary to do it. I can't decide this was orchestrated by Jesus so Mary can do it. I can't decide if the Holy Spirit inspired Mary to do it. Or I can't decide if Mary knew this all along. Numbers, Isaiah, and Caiaphas. But she put all the pictures together. I want you to picture this. Surrounded by men. Women were not allowed to sit at the table. She's unworthy. She's considered lower class in this society. She had to wash a man's feet as they come into her house to be clean. She took the oil. It's worth a year's wage. She went to Jesus' feet. And she lowered her hair. At that moment, Jesus acts as our high priest. We submit ourselves to him and sit at his feet. And he is the good news. Think of the picture coming together as the last public ministry of Jesus, the acts of Mary. Look at what she's doing. She's sending a message to all of us. And if you are a woman, you should be cheering for this. Jesus was the first man to say, "Women, you are equal in the eyes of God." Actually, Jesus is the very first person in public
that there's no condemnation at the feet of Jesus. Out of everyone who follows Jesus, there's only three person who knew this was going to happen. Mary, his mother, this Mary, and Caiaphas kind of prophesied it, but he didn't know at the time. Mary was the first theologian to put all this together. This was the first sermon about Jesus and who he was. She let her hair down, open and honest. Her spiritual nakedness was at the feet, like Isaiah said, that is the good news. She wiped the perfume as oil on her head, the way a high priest would anoint an adulterous woman. As she submitted to Jesus as her high priest and for forgiveness. I want you to understand this. There's no shame. There's no guilt. We're all equal at the table with God. Every woman should run after Jesus. Jesus was the first to fight sexism. Jesus was the first person to walk on the scene and here at this event. He accepted Mary for who she was. She's like, leave her alone. Because at my table, a woman belongs. He fought racism. That at the table with God, everyone belongs. He fight ages, and there's no old, there's no young. He more shocking and offending by living as though all humans are equal in the house of God. Amen? Is at this picture right here when Mary poured the perfume, put her head, soaked with it at the feet of Jesus, because he is at that moment the high priest. Jesus acts as our high priest. And when we submit ourselves to him and sit at his feet, he is the good news. This is the final act of Jesus' public ministry before he went on to the cross. There's no shame. There's no guilt. There's equal at the table with Jesus. For me to think about this, there's no female or no class. There's no skin color. There's no economic system. There's no political parties. At the table of Jesus, everyone belongs. He anoints our head with oil, and we are blameless in his sight. Now, that's not something someone just made up. And if that's not the most exciting thing in the world, I don't know what is. There's no inspirational quote that comes out of that. I want you to understand this. Because you put your faith into something, you want to know, is this something real? And this is as real as it gets. Because they were all, everybody watching it. The people there. Listen to what it said. John chapter 12, verse 4. There were mixed emotions about this. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later betray him, objected. Why are you wasting this? This could have been given to the poor. And Jesus answered him by saying, leave her alone. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but will you not always have me? I want your attention to fear. Mary had it in her heart that she was going to be responsible for the burial of Jesus. She already decided that. This perfume was to save, to honor Jesus when he gets killed by the Roman soldiers. She knew that was going to happen. She heard it. She heard the plan. Jesus raised her brother from the dead. So her way of giving back to Jesus is that she was going to be responsible for his funeral. But when Jesus says, leave her alone, it was intended that she should use this for my burial. The implication that Jesus is saying is this. You can stack up as many good deeds as you want in this life. There will always be another good deed to be done. There will be another poor person to take care of. There will always be a volunteer opportunity. There will always be an opportunity to vacuum this floor. There will be always an opportunity to wash the toilet. Whatever it may be, there's always an opportunity to do something nice to somebody. But at some point, the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior will run out. The implication of what Jesus is saying is, you will always have an opportunity to do something nice. And if you're chasing after something to help you get into heaven by being nice or doing something nice, it ain't going to work, because there's always will be someone who do nicer things than you. But the opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior will not always be there. You're saved not because you hear about Jesus Christ. You're not saved because you start doing something nice or good or good deeds. You're saved because you fully submitted to the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Here's the funny thing about this is the more I learn about God and read his words, I discovered that he is not expecting us to have this spiritual high of, hey, I'm feeling closer to God, like reaching up higher, reaching, knowing the Greeks and knowing the Hebrews and knowing how to, you know, flip this thing back and forth. Those things are good. You should learn. You should know. Or in order to follow Jesus, we got to have this euphoria feeling of this stage of, hey, I'm keep reaching up for God. That's not what I'm discovering as I get to know God more and read his word more. But I discover that he is not expecting us to reach higher to get to him. I want you to understand this. God is not expecting us to reach higher to get to him, but he wants us to stoop down at his feet and let him be God. He wants us to stoop down at his feet and let him be God. As the band come forward, the purpose of my sermon today is not to give you something to walk away with, to apply it to your life or feel good for the day. But the purpose of my sermon in this very hard text, you wonder, why did Mary do that? Why did she pour her hair? That the whole purpose of this Mary event encompasses who Jesus was, who he is, that he's the Son of God, that he acts as the high priest for us, and at his feet. This is the first sermon, I believe, that Jesus is the Savior, and at his feet we find forgiveness. So back to David, Psalm 23. He's a king. He defeated Goliath. He defeated the Philistines. There were songs about King David, but he said something in Psalm 23 that relates to what Mary did at the feet of Jesus. This is what he said. You prepare a table before me. Psalm 23, verse 5. In the presence of my enemies, you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Mary understood the love that David had for God. And often we hear David was a man after God's own heart. At this moment, Mary understood that God loves her in her, all of her spiritual nakedness, in her hair down, in her stooping down at the feet of Jesus, as long as Jesus is anointing her head, she is safe. She's secure in his love. That she is his child. And at the table, at that dinner, the same way David understood that at the table of God, we all are accepted and all are forgiven. So as you go home and you read Mary's story one more time, put yourself in her position and know that God loves you. Loves you. Let's pray. God, we love you. We thank you so much for all you've given us. God, we thank you that we get to come here every Sunday. And the only reason we come here every Sunday is to worship you. That we're forgiven. That the world might change, or we might have pressures and problems, or we might have people coming after us, or there are things that might not be easy as we go throughout our week. But just like David and Mary, you anointed us with your blood. At your table, we're forgiven. It is in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Amen.